Welcome back to All Talk No Bock, episode 17, which is how many rings my LA Lakers have as of this very day. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And so right now we're in the World Series, and let me preface everything by saying I've been dreadfully wrong on all accounts leading up to this matchup in the World Series. And then once the World Series has begun, I've been wrong some more. So I don't know anything about baseball, and I'm unqualified to speak about baseball. But in all seriousness, well, that is serious. But in all seriousness, we're in the World Series. It's very exciting. Three games have been completed in favor of the Dodgers, 2-1. And we're going to break them all down, game 1, 2, and 3. And then we'll get into your take, our take. So game one, what I was seeing was all good things from the Dodgers because they got to Tyler Glasnow pretty quickly, a guy that flame throws, which of course we know the Dodgers love hitting their fastballs. And Mookie with some incredible plays all throughout the postseason. There have been incredible Dodger defensive plays, which have been so refreshing to see. And they've oftentimes fueled their offense. But the score, the final score was 8-3. And guys, what were we seeing from that game one?
A lot of good stuff from the Dodgers. Kershaw brought his good stuff in game one. Everyone was hitting. They looked like they were a playoff and a World Series team. They came in there like they had been there before. Kershaw looked great. He came in there and dealt. Everyone was talking about him. And like I said on the last podcast, guys, it finally seems like David Roberts knows what he's doing out there. And he pulled his head out of his butt, and he's ready to go and win a World Series this year. He's not going to blow it, guys. I really think that they win tonight. And, you know, game six is when they finally finish it out. But back to game one, I just loved what I saw from them, hitting, pitching, all around. Great win. And have you guys noticed how many times in this postseason the Dodgers have gotten it done with two outs? They have scored 50 runs with two outs in this postseason. I think that's a record by far. And we're still in, we just finished up game three. So I thought that was amazing. And, you know, going into everything else that they've done in this postseason with their bullpen and everything hanging in down 3-1, it's just, it seems like it's going to be their year and everything is going their way. And I'd like to
okay, hold,
real quick.
Hold.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I'd like to welcome in our guests too, Andrew and Tori. And I'd like to give the dish to Andrew and see what he has to say about game one. You've had your shot.
Hold on a second. There are a lot of jinxes in there. Like, you just way jinxed it. Like, you so badly jinxed it. I don't know how many times you said the Dodgers, they're going to take it.
All this coming from the personal jinx, Heather. So
I'm sorry. Did I call 6-2 before the game and then it happened? Yes, I did. So I don't think there's a jinx in there.
Go check out his article.
But you can't say
clairvoyant. That's not a jinx.
Yeah, we're good.
You can't say, first of all, you took my word. Second of all, you can't say, oh, the Dodgers are going to win it all. It's their year. You can't be that confident. You can't have that hubris because you know what happens when people have that hubris?
But it hasn't happened so far, Heather.
Nope.
No.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Anyway, Andrew, what do you got, my man?
I'm personally loving the series. Obviously, like, I'm a Dodgers fan. I'm obviously nervous about, like, everything else, but not, like, to the level of Heather. Like, baseball stresses me out, but I enjoy it. I take pleasure in harming myself that way. But game one was, like, was perfect. Like, what?
Don't say you take pleasure in harming yourself. That's like a soundbite waiting to explode. breaking news. Andrew Luna from the bullpen.
Emotionally taxing baseball is what I'm drawn to. Okay?
Okay, fine.
But yeah, Kershaw, like, so came out and he dealt. It was good. Mookie, like, now the leader in steal a base, steal a taco. So that's the stat we should be talking about.
I know. It's funny.
The 28th. Let's go get our free Doritos Locos.
That's going to be great. But that stat about the two out runs, that's definitely something that's been consistent throughout the entirety of the playoffs. It's been good to see, whereas, like, if you get a man on with two outs, like, you're not done. You're not out of it. Their historic first inning in game three of the NLCS, all 10 of their runs came with two outs. So they're definitely dangerous. You've just got to get that third out in order to stop the bleeding.
It's almost expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird at this point.
Yes.
Scenario where it's two outs, you expect them to be done, and they keep it going.
Right.
Yeah. So, Reese, we'll bring it to you for game two, which, yes, the Dodgers have the ability to lose. It doesn't sound like it based on the beginning of this podcast. But they do have the ability to lose, and they did. It was a bullpen game.
Exactly.
The score got crooked quick, and then the Dodgers did fight back, so that was good. They saw some of Tampa's, higher leverage relievers in that game, but they couldn't come up with a big hit, and that ninth inning was pathetic. But I'm just really hard on them. So that was almost an immaculate inning. Had one of those been a strike and not like a fly out or whatever that was. Anyway, Reese, what did you see in that loss? You wrote the article, I think.
No, Charleston. Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, I really think that the reason that the Dodgers lost in the first place was because it was a bullpen game, so I think that the Rays had that advantage. And something I kind of wanted to talk about in general is just the Dodgers, like, offensive production. Like, it's been so great this series. They did fight back. Like, it wasn't a horrible loss. I mean, yes, at the end of the day, a loss is a loss, and it matters in the World Series, but at least, like, they showed, you know, their ability to fight back in a situation in which there is a deficit, and, like, the other two games, aside from game two, obviously they came back and won. And so I think that there's a lot to be said for the Dodgers. I have a lot of confidence with them in this series. Additionally, like, I do want to talk about the Rays for a second. Like, the Dodgers pitching isn't, like, stellar. Like, you wouldn't look at the Dodgers bullpen and be like, oh, that's great. You know what I mean? But they've got some great starters. And, you know, Urias is going to start tonight, and he's leading the postseason with, what, 4 wins? Is like 0.56 right now. Like, that's great. And the fact that the Rays struggled so badly against Buehler, whose ERA, I mean, his career postseason ERA is like, what, like 1.28, and he came into game three with like 1.89, and the fact that they struggled so much against Buehler, who, I mean, he did have an excellent game, but his ERA is like double that of Urias is coming into the game tonight. And so I think that the Rays definitely have that working against them. And so, again, the reason I'm saying all this, going back to game two, I think that the Rays did have an advantage because it was a bullpen game for the Dodgers. But I think that the Dodgers pitching, at least their starting pitching, has definitely taken its toll on the Rays. And I think that that's going to show tonight as well. So
That's a nice, we'll do predictions in a minute. But yeah, that was, Tampa, you know, came out that game really hot offensively. Brandon Lau, that's how you say it, right? Lau? I think it's Lau. He had 2 homers, I believe, in that game. So, you know, they did have some offensive production, which was unexpected, I think. Charles, did you want
to
say something?
Yes, just adding on to that, I wanted to say that with their decision in that bullpen game, it kind of surprised me. It seemed like they had their bullpen rotation down, especially in that game 7 of the NLCS, and they started Dustin May. And then in game 2, they start Trinan. I don't know why they did
Trinan,
yeah. So I don't know why they did that instead of starting Dustin May when it worked out. And they left May to hang around in the 5th or 6th inning, and then that 2-run shot came up, and that was the game right there. So if they don't leave May in, if they start him, and he was also taking pitchers out with 2 outs in every inning, and then in that inning, they left May in instead of bringing in Joe Kelly to get him warmed up for the next one. So a little bit of a confusing scenario there that I didn't really understand. I don't know if that was a bullpen issue or if May needed some more rest to get into that game. So that was a little bit confusing for me. And back to what Reese was saying about Julio tonight, I mean, the Rays have the most strikeouts in a shortened season at over 600, which is averaging more than 10 a game. So I'm interested to see how he pitches tonight. They've been fanning a lot on those fastballs that you were talking about.
Yeah. That was, so then that the series was tied 1-1, and then they had the off day, so Dodger fans got to sit in the anxiety of a tied series for a day. And then we got to game 3, and all eyes were on Walker, and Walker smashed it. And you know, again, a theme with the Dodgers, they got Charlie Morton out of the game very early. a guy that's been great this postseason and in cheating postseasons past. And you got to think there's a little chip on their shoulder in that game. But yeah, another offensively productive game. Great double play by Justin Turner. Defense all the way around, offense. So yeah, Tori, what were you saying from last night's game? With the exception of Kenley throwing the and allowing the home run, sort of a good pitching performance all the way around. So what were you saying?
Yeah, no, I agree. Last night's game was definitely very exciting. It was good to see the Dodgers coming out strong. And they honestly, I'll give it to them, they do look like a championship team right now, all the way around, from pitching, their bullpen, and also offensively. I'm breaking up a little bit. So I'm just
going to... No, we can still hear you.
Okay. Sorry, just making sure. But yeah, Buehler honestly has been impressing me so much. I'm not, you guys know, I'm not a Dodgers fan, but honestly, I love watching him play. Yeah. Like he's so exciting. Like he's just so good. Just the way he comes off the mound. He had 10 Ks last night. I think he broke a record or tied a record for postseason wins. Don't quote me on that, something like that. But he was honestly just brilliant last night coming out. And I also thought that they did a good job of just having consistency throughout the entire game. They didn't have one inning where they just completely scored like five runs and then they were like dead the rest of the game. No, they kind of like throughout the entire game, they're getting one run, two runs every inning. We saw Austin Barnes even laying down like a sacrifice bunt, getting a run. Wow. And a couple innings later, he comes up and hits a home run. I think it was just awesome getting to see that, like, Austin, you can do both. Barnes. So, yeah, I think they have been impressing me, honestly, and it'll be interesting going into today to see how the Rays respond. Obviously, the Rays fell a little bit more flat. I feel like they're kind of just more of a flat team to begin with. Yeah. Not that there's someone that can't be a threat to the Dodgers, for sure. The Dodgers still need to perform, but yeah, I think it's going to kind of be a bit of a tug of war, though. I don't know if we're going to go into game predictions, so hold on to mine for now.
No, thank you, because we are right now. So yeah, so far it's been it's sort of a little bit, with the exception of that game too, but it's mostly been all Dodgers in these first three games, and we're seeing a dominant Dodger team, and they're sort of clicking on most cylinders. I won't say all, because they could always do better at this thing or that thing. And certain players could also be hitting better. I'm looking at you, my husband, Cody Bellinger. But
I think you can argue the point that they were clicking on all cylinders yesterday. That was like nine innings of practically perfect baseball.
Yeah, yesterday. But I'm saying, like, individual players can always, like, Corey Seager has been cooler than he was in the previous year. So, you know, things could always be more. They have so much potential, this team. They can score 20 runs a game, I think, if everything was really clicking, just because they have so much talent. But
let me say regardless, real quick, with Walker as well, that guy, I mean, have we seen the situations he's been able to get out of in this postseason? One out, 3-0 count, bases loaded against the Padres, fans the next two guys, gets out of the inning. No outs, bases loaded. I think it was a 2-0 count against the Braves in a crucial game six there, and he gets out of there. I mean, this guy, he feels that he can just get out of any situation now. They were talking about it last night. He's not one of those guys that you see bases loaded and he's going to look all high strung up on the mound. He slows down.
Oh, yeah, that's filthy.
In fact, he looks like he gets pissed. He's like,
oh, yeah.
I have this many runners on? What am I doing? I'm going to go deal right now. And he just comes out and gives it to him. I love it.
Yeah, he's definitely a gamer. Like, you got to love his confidence. I've said before, and it's inappropriate, but Walker walks around like he's got the biggest thing in his pants, and he knows it. Like he's got that confidence.
Done the strut yet?
Yeah,
and we're
exactly.
Canceled. This is the last episode from us, and we've had so much fun. Yeah,
but yeah, you gotta love his confidence.
I can't believe you said that.
And he like he's had that situation against the Braves in years past, where that's where Acuna hit the home run, the grand slam. Yeah. And he's bounced back since then. It's like he's been in those situations where he could like a less mentally tough pitcher would kind of fold under that pressure again. Like, oh no, I'm in this situation again. But no, he's bared down and like gotten through it. So, yeah.
Biggest thing in his pants, as if thing is making the sentence a little more modest.
Put it on a shirt. Let's go. That
yeah, that's our new merch.
Okay. Don't. So prediction. So I'll start. I will say that the Rays win in six. Why? Because Julio, I think, bombs Kershaw to ask him to go back to, you know, in sort of two games in a row, really stellar is a lot. I think the Rays wake up and the Rays win it in six. Who's next?
The Oracle will go. I predicted a 6-2 victory last night. Can't believe it. Vegas bookmakers, they're looking for me. They're hunting me down right now. I feel exposed already. But I will say that tonight they got it with Urias. It's going to be a close one, but they have it about 3-2. Rays take an early lead, but the Dodgers come back. Bold call, Kershaw. I do agree with you there, Heather. He's going to blow it in game five. He doesn't have his stuff back to back normally, and the bullpen gets it done in game six. They figure it out what they did wrong in game two. They come
That's
back.
That's so wrong.
Six. I'm sorry.
That's like so wrong.
I'm sorry.
Heather, have you been right about anything, Heather?
I'm seeing a big goose egg.
Yeah. So I trust Charles's opinion over your track record.
But the bullpen sucks. You don't. No. Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin have been bad. Okay.
No, they haven't.
They've been bad
for
a couple games in a row.
It can't
not been bad
for the Dodgers. It's too messy. They got to do it with their bullpen. It's got to be, rough in a way. Yes, they got to get it done.
Let me go backwards a little bit. Here's the real situation. If they win tonight, they need to win tomorrow because you know it's poetic and it's beautiful and it's all the things that the baseball writers love to write about. Kershaw winning the game, whatever. But if they lose one of those two games or whatever, if they could lose both. But if they lose one of those two games, then to expect the bullpen to then pitch well again is ridiculous. Then it'll go to a game seven.
They did it against the Braves last series. What are you
saying? Heather, we just came back from a 3-1 deficit to win in game seven. Our starters didn't all do that. I think we've got it. You can trust
the
bullpen.
The starters were a big part of if why they was able to happen.
In a game seven game, I think they could do it in a game six game with a 3-2 lead.
You've also got to look at the arms Dave Roberts threw in game two out of the bullpen. He saved all the big arms. He didn't throw Baez. He didn't throw Gratterall. I don't think he did throw Trinan.
He threw Gratterall.
He threw Gratterall?
Mm-hmm. And he did throw Trinan.
No.
But he didn't
throw. In game two, he did not throw Gratterall.
I don't think he threw Gratterall. He threw Floro. He threw McGee.
I thought you said game three.
Yeah, he threw all like the arms that have been struggling a bit. So obviously, like that's gonna be of concern, minor concern. But the thing is, like, it wasn't our greatest game. And if Kike gloves that ball the second and turns that double play, then that game turns out a lot differently. And the fact that we can still put up a fight even after not playing our best game and almost come back like to tie the score. We got to have three bad games before the Rays have two. I trust our chances in that. As far as like my prediction for the rest of the series, I think we win out this weekend. Julio will come out. He's been good. He's got that confidence now. And I don't think Kershaw blows it. I don't think he has his greatest start, but I think he can get it done.
You guys don't consider any of, like, the intangibles that we've seen in the past, like, 5 years. What about when – okay, let's say they win tonight, which I don't think
they do. It is 2020, Heather. Kershaw, it is not the last 5 years.
Okay, but I'm saying Kershaw pitching, even if it's not his best performance in himself, think about Tampa's perspective. They are going to be fighting for their lives. Dodgers are going to get overconfident. We see what happens when that happens all the time with the Dodgers. The minute they get overconfident,
I think the Dodgers know not to get overconfident.
But I'm saying Tampa will be playing for their lives in that game. So I'm saying it's hard to expect Kershaw to get a win. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe he gets a no decision, but he doesn't. But he pulls out. How sweet would it be because the Dodgers know what the narrative surrounds him, like what the narrative is that surrounds him.
Yeah,
like
no, I
for
know.
Them for them to close it out with him like starting the game, like that'd be perfect.
Yeah, it would be nice. And it would also be nice for my digestive system as well as my cardiovascular system, which have both taken a major toll. And I haven't eaten in like 6 months because with the Lakers and Dodgers combined, your girl can't get any sleep. Ain't no rest for the wicked. Reese, give us your prediction.
Okay, like I said last night, I think the Dodgers are going to win tonight. I think they're going to lose tomorrow. And I think they're going to win on Monday.
Reese.
You guys are so dumb.
Let's go.
First of all,
it'd be on Tuesday.
On the train. I like it.
You're not, I did not say you're dumb, by the way. I know I've said that in the past. That I didn't mean dumb. I meant like your predictions are dumb because you're not even considering. You're just saying
they're
words.
Not dumb.
You're
they're
not even dumb. Like,
Heather, we combined have a better like, track record than your entirety.
Your considerations, all your analysis, it still doesn't work out. So I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe going with your gut here might be the best bet.
Heather, I have a question. Did you even think the Dodgers were going to make it to the World Series?
No, she didn't. No. She thought the Brewers were going to beat them in the wild card round.
And then she thought the Padres were going to win. And then she thought the Braves
She thought the Padres were going to win the division.
Five, and then it's Rays in six. I don't know. I'm thinking you're having to change your mind quite a bit.
Doesn't know anything about baseball. Yeah, okay. Thank you, guys. Tori, you want to give us some better predictions than those three?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to kind of agree with you on some things, Heather. I think that the Rays win tonight against Julio. I think that, yes, he's been doing good so far in the postseason, but I think this is where it ends tonight, and I think the Rays are going to show some fight. Maybe Lau will be able to get some things going in the lineup. And then I also agree that Kershaw's probably going to blow it again tomorrow. He already had his one really good game, and we all know he kind of caves under pressure. But I think that the Dodgers do have the potential to maybe win it in seven. So that's my prediction.
If Robert,
your prediction is Dodgers in seven?
Yes.
I think he can win, but I don't think he does. And I think Kershaw gives up a few runs in like the sixth inning like he did in a couple games ago.
Or game five.
Before, yeah, game five, yeah. So
Game four.
Brave series. So, yeah, Tori, that prediction might not be too far off because I saw Morton getting hit a lot by the Dodgers. And with that record, he was 3-0, 0.57, like Reese brought up earlier in the podcast. And I just felt like with that all-star lineup, they had the best matchup against him. So you could totally be right. I think I see Urias dealing just with what Reese brought up earlier about the Rays fanning pitches, and he has some great fastballs. So I think that he deals, but we'll see if he connects tonight.
I think Morton is gonna get touched up again if he goes again. They already touched up Glass now. Like, it'd be hard to – Snell was the only one who got to the Dodgers, and it'd be hard to expect him to go like two times against this lineup who's already seen him. So it's going to be an uphill battle for him. The problem with Kershaw, as far as like caving under pressure, he's going to give up solo home runs. That's what he does. Like, those are the runs he gives up consistently. If you can accept that, then you can see the better in his performances. That game, what was it? Game five performance, whatever game
four.
He pitched in the NL, four. I'm sorry. Like, that game performance was a good performance other than that sixth inning. So I think he hunkers down and does it.
And all the Dodgers victories have
been
blowouts. While as
yes, which has been nice in terms of stress Kenley-wise. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it should be noted because we haven't really – the role that Dave Roberts has given Kenley is brilliant. It's what I've been saying for years should be done with Kenley. Kenley got important innings. Does Kenley need the most important innings at the most important times? No. But Kenley, I mean, his management of Kenley and Kenley's buy into it is genius. I mean, so good. That solo home run was so indicative. Yesterday was so indicative of like how much more nerve wracking would that be in like a different score differential. Struck out one and then two outs, line out and a fly out. So, I love that. Anyway, we love you, Kenley.
In his last three appearances, a three-run lead. Yeah, in his last three appearances, though, he's shown some life to it. So that's definitely reassuring. It's still nerve-wracking. It's still nerve-wracking, obviously, to see him come in, which is sad to say. But it's good to see him have some success in these later innings. Obviously, like, I when I saw him warming up in game seven, I was scared. I'm glad Roberts kept Julio in there. But yeah.
Yeah, you definitely don't trust
him for
one run.
What?
I said you definitely don't trust him.
Especially 3 days in a row. Like that, that's a tough call.
Never. Never, never, ever. Never, 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 ever. So in review, we have Reese in six, Dodgers in six. Charles has Dodgers in six. Andrew has Dodgers in five. Tori has Dodgers in seven. And I have Rays in six. So that's what we're going with. And hopefully
so strictly based off of Heather's predictions, the Dodgers are going to win.
I've been right along the way a lot of times. You just don't, you like to point out my bigger falsehoods without, you know, pointing out my little minutia of correct. So anyway, so we're going to be right back and then go to a very interesting Your Take, Our Take. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to All Talk No Bock. This is your favorite segment, Your Take, Our Take. We have a very interesting topic today. After the game, do you think players wash their feet? We're going to get into that, whether we think they wash their feet afterwards. Tori, Andrew, and myself have some experience as ball players doing that. And for us, just in general, do you wash your feet when you get out of the shower? So, Andrew, we'll start off with you in the bottom right. What do you got?
Yeah, this is an odd topic. I agree. I think the answer to both is yes. Especially after a game or like practice and all that, like the dirt's like if you're anywhere, but especially if you're like sliding or making diving plays, myself, like as a pitcher, my foot would like drag it across the dirt. So one of my feet would be particularly dirty. So they obviously like you've got to wash it all off. And in a normal shower, yes, you wash your feet. I don't know what else to add. Tori, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you're on the right track. I definitely agree. I, as a ball player, would always wash my feet. Honestly, I'd be so, like, caked with dirt sometimes. Like, even, like, on my hands or arms or whatever, it would literally be, like, a different shade just because I had so much dirt on me from playing on the field. So I definitely think it would be unsanitary if you didn't wash your feet in the shower after playing baseball, softball, whatever. So I think that players definitely do wash their feet.
Go ahead, Reese.
I did not play softball or baseball, but I did play soccer and I ran track. And so I did wash my feet after my games because my feet would get disgusting, as I'm sure any athlete can relate to. And I still do wash my feet. And I think that professional athletes wash their feet. And okay, something I want to say too, and I'm going to throw this in there, like, when we go to college for the first time and we're living in the dorms, they always say to like wear shower shoes when you're in the shower, right? So like, do you think athletes, do you think they have shower shoes for the locker room showers? Isn't it like you get like hepatitis if you don't? Is that what it is?
I feel like professional like facilities have it where it's, they could probably afford to have it separated into like different showers.
Okay.
But that's just, I've never been inside the shower of a professional facility, so who's to say?
Yeah, because it's a communal shower, so I don't know, obviously, exactly. Like, I've never been to a professional locker room before, so I don't know what their shower situation is, but, like, in terms of, like, communal bathrooms, like, at least, like, with dorm life, like, you have your shower shoes, everything's kind of grody, so I don't know if it's the same situation with, like, professional baseball. I do think that they wash their feet, but I'm just throwing in an added question if we think that shower shoes are a part of that process.
But Reese, even with the shower shoes, from my experience, when I was living in a dorm, I would balance on one foot.
Exactly. Yeah, you do the whole flamingo thing, and then
wash it and put it back in.
With Charu,
good to go.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, thank you. First of all, the reason this topic was chosen was it was one of the most hotly debated internet topics actually of between 2018 and 2019, so that's why we're talking about it. But also, to Reese's question, whoever doesn't wear like shower shoes in college is a monster. but it's not hepatitis that you get. Hepatitis is a blood disease.
Wait, what do you get?
It's like, it's just like bacterial, like
you get athlete's foot.
Athlete's foot.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Other but you could get like more serious conditions than just athlete's foot. But yeah. I would say though, to the other points, that washing feet, now we need to define that, because I think we're all not on the same page with what washing feet is. Is washing feet just putting them under the water? Which obviously if you're showering, you're putting your feet under the water. I mean, there's no question. Or are you like scrubbing with soap and water in between individual toes?
Scrubber.
Okay, well, I do not do this, but I would say also that my feet don't get terribly dirty. I kickbox, or I would in like a non-pandemic situation. And, you know, I wear shoes and socks. So my feet don't get, that's not like the grossest part of me after I'm done kickboxing by any means. Also, there are people that are more inclined to have smelly feet. This is not me. So I understand if you have smelly feet that you might want to be more proactive in washing your feet more thoroughly. But this is not me. But I think to Reese's point of do the players have to wear shower shoes in the locker rooms? I don't think so, because I think, well, with college, you have so many people in like one dorm, and locker rooms are obviously, they have their own attendance, you know, after each game. So they're cleaning it. I don't think they need to, but I don't think that players wash their feet. Or like the way I think of feet being washed is this, you know, like you scrub yourself with soap, like you wash with soap, and then the soap, you know, drips down to your feet. And that gets to your feet. And then you wash with water. So you wash everything off with water. And I could demonstrate, but we would be canceled quicker than you could say cancel culture. And so I won't. Yeah, I think that's the consensus. I don't wash my feet thought in mind. Yeah, but I think my feet get washed. So that's what I didn't know. I want to add something really fast. I had a peer in college that used shampoo to like and called that soap to like wash her body. That's horrible.
What?
That's a whole separate like issue. Because I guess she thought that the same properties in soap lied in the shampoo and conditioner that we use. And there might be a point to like the beauty industry is trying to get at girls to use all these different products. And there might be a point, but I think that's still gross. And I use like shampoo and then conditioner and soap, especially with hair like mine. You gotta make sure the products are differentiated enough. But yeah, I would say that I wash feet, but I don't have the intention of washing feet. What about you, Charles?
Well, it's a rare day. I'm going to agree with you, Heather, that I think that most ball players in a 162-game season aren't really concerned every game about their feet. I think with the sandals, you know, that they're just letting the soap drip down and they're getting their feet soapy. And then they just kind of – the main thing here, I want to give a shout-out to drying over washing, because I think drying your feet is very crucial. Otherwise, all that stuff just gets there. You got to get in between the toes afterwards. It feels nice. And I'm sure that there are those guys on baseball teams who love like really treating their feet, those one-offs who like use the moisturizer and all that stuff to get their feet nice and smooth. But I think your common ball player isn't worried about how their feet smells after a game. I think they're more concerned about how they did, and if they lost, they're definitely not concerned about that. So I'm going to go with they do wash their feet for the most part because of the soap. They just kind of like let it trickle down, but they're not really.
They just don't put much effort into it.
Correct. Yeah.
They're not a high intensity.
The drying's where it's at. The drying you got to be more concerned about.
I'm gonna challenge you on that, Charles. What is drying your feet? What do you mean by that?
It's when you know you put your foot up on your little shower rail and then you get your towel in between each of those toes, especially the one that went all the way home, and then you just you're done. You're good to go.
You mean this little piggy? That's
right. You gotta get that little piggy at the end there. That's the most crucial.
Especially because so I'm sorry.
Kind of weird.
So which toe do you think? So that's the one you think is the most important is your pinky toe.
The pinky toe?
Pinky toe.
That's the most important toe. Wait, why is that the one that's like the most significant to you?
Yeah.
A lot of the pinky toes, I'm pretty sure, like at least with mine, maybe I'm just weird, but it like, it's kind of like slanted a little bit. So it's like pressed up against my other toe. So I got to get in that in between
I'm
there, you know?
You're mine right now.
We are providing amazing imagery.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah.
It well, is kind of.
This is a I feel like your big toe just kind of makes that happen, you know? It's just like, I'm over here, all you other ones just.
Well, your big toe's like vibing by itself. There's definitely a gap. And then all the other ones are like riding pretty close to each other. I'm literally looking at my feet as we speak. So.
Yep.
I can't control. So,
this is a judging.
And I would love to see those shower sandals on a lot of those players. Maybe they have some cool sandals, some cool footwear.
Sure. You know how they have the Joe Kelly cleats? You think they have Joe Kelly shower shoes? I'd buy those.
I'm sure they're emblazoned with every team's logo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now available on the Bullpen's website.
Oh my God. That's what we need. Shoes. Get the mini skirt. I want shower shoes.
Yes.
No. The people don't understand the minis. That's an inside joke. Yeah, I would say to Charles that this is a judgment-free zone, and whatever your feet look like or smell like, there's no judgment unless it's pointed towards me, in which case it's, I guess, free reign to judge. I would say that players, but they do look clean after, you know, in the post-game interviews and such. So I do think they genuinely do care about the shower. What?
Like the players look clean?
Yeah, the players look clean after the games.
Right.
Because after they shower, like in all sports, actually, they look clean. So I would say that I would disagree with you there, Charles. I would say that they do care about getting clean, but I would say that feet in general, I guess if you're wearing shoes and socks, like I said, unless the dirt really gets in there, but especially if like maybe you're a pitcher, I would say that it's unnecessary because you're wearing shoes and socks, but they're covered, unlike other parts of the body that might get dirtier.
I can attest to that. The dirt penetrates the socks no matter what. Like, if you've really? Ever like taken off like a baseball sock or a stirrup and all that, the amount of dirt that puffs up after it springs out, there's a lot. Yeah. Okay, so really
a pile of dirt on the floor.
Spray on tan from the
sand.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So it's definitely all there. You're definitely very tan after it. So there's a lot to wash off. Which is why I'd expect them all to wash it. But I can add to the fact that I know baseball players, as like overgeneralization, are kind of disgusting. Like baseball players cannot be the less hygienic than a lot of regular people. Having played with some and having been one myself, if you look at Freddie Freeman's shirt that they were talking about last series, he has like this old ratty tattered shirt that he wears under his jersey every game, and he washes it, but it's like to threads, and it's so like baseball players have some weird superstitions. So I wouldn't put it past them to like linger in the filth, because also like after you've done playing, like that uniform is pretty comfortable. So like, I don't know.
Well, there was that whole thing, not to harp on the issue, but there was that whole thing with Corey Seager. The game where he didn't hit for the cycle, but he had like an excellent, maybe a 3-home run game or something. This was 2 years ago. And then he, maybe three actually, and then he didn't, they had a day game after a night game and he didn't change out of the jersey to anything. So that is the one time I've heard something like that. But yeah, I don't know. Hope that players are seeing.
Not watching.
Yeah. Well, no, that time he did not watch his feet. No. I don't think it sounds like, or maybe, okay. So final thoughts, do people actually scrub between their little piggies, as Charles would say? I'll start. I do not, as I've stated, but I do let the soap get in the feet. And then obviously if there's like dirt or something, I guess it's circumstantial, but on a traditional shower day, no. What about you, Andrew?
Yes, I am I am not necessarily in between every toe, but I am scrubbing the top and bottom of my feet. And
okay.
And obviously the ankle too, because that's where like the dirt builds up. So like you got to get that too.
Guys, can I just like interject here? Guys have such an easier shower time, like on like a thousand different levels than girls. Guys can take like 2 minute showers and be squeaky clean, and they can take them every day with their short hair. It just goes right back. You don't need to do anything. You just, and then you don't need to shave, do, or unless you want to. I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to stereotype gender here, but I'm saying that guys, like, you know, whatever, generally don't have to shave. Girls do, per societal standards. So things are longer and take a longer time, and there's more of a process with a girl's shower. Again, I guess I'm just speaking for myself, but I assume that's the case. Charles, what about you? I guess you do scrub in between your little piggy in particular.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Okay, that's it from Charles. Reese?
Yeah, I mean, it depends really how dirty my feet are. Like, obviously I wash my feet every day, but like the intensity with which I wash them varies, so I'm not always scrubbing in between every single toe, but on occasion, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yes, I wash my feet.
Okay, and what about you, Tori?
No, I think I'm the same as Reese. I might not, it depends on the intensity of the day, but definitely my feet, the little loofahs go into my feet every time I'm in the shower. Scrubbing it up, top, bottom, ankle.
Exfoliate the feet.
Ankle, yeah, gotta hit that ankle. Also, there's a note too, if you're shaving your legs, you sort of get to like the bottom of the ankle, and the shaving cream has like cleaning properties if you have like a good one. Anyway, whatever. So that's the weirdest your take, our take we've ever done, and I don't think we got canceled, but I think we made it through just barely. There were
it's not for lack of effort. Times. I tried.
Not for lack of effort, you're right. We were very much pushing the limit, but we'll be right back with the wrap up.
That's it for us here at All Talk No Bock. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed that your take, our take. It got pretty funny there at the end. Comment down below whether you take care of your feet, what way you take care of them, and if you use any moisturizer or anything like that that I talked about. Make sure to follow us on social media, on Instagram, Twitter. Got the Facebook coming. TikTok is on its way. Facebook is kind of live, so make sure to go check us out there as well. As always, make sure to go check out the Spotify and the YouTube for this podcast and subscribe and make sure to listen. And don't forget, the Bullpen is always coming out with merch, so stay tuned for that. We're always coming out with new stuff. Be sure to check that out. And for next week's Your Take, Our Take, we're going to be getting into the moments that we've felt sad, the moments that we've cried, the best moments, whether they've been happy tears or sad tears. So a little bit of a variation there. And since the season's coming to an end in the next coming days, we figure it's the right time. We're going to be sad that the season is over, and it's going to be fitting. So we hope you guys tune in for that as well next week. And Heather, anything else, or is that about it?
Yeah, I just want to give the audience a spoiler that I cry most days, but then especially when the Dodgers lose their third World Series in 4 years, that'll be a tearjerker for sure. Thank you all for watching or listening, depending on where you are. We have a few surprises coming in a few weeks, which is super exciting, so stay tuned for that, and head to our social media for more info. And I just want to say, as I said last week, go out and vote. It's very important. Right now we have, I would say, T-minus 2 weeks-ish go out and vote, and vote early this year because of the mail-in ballot situation. It'll be crazier than it's been in years past. So vote for whomever you think will uphold our democracy. Of course, there's one candidate in particular that I have in mind. But you can vote for whoever you want, because that is the freedom of this country. And do what Andrew's shirt says, make sure you follow that wholeheartedly. And you vote, especially if you're in one of the swing states. So do that. And yeah, follow us everywhere. And we'll see you guys next week for what will be a sentimental, beautiful, but I'm sure they'll make fun of me at some point, episode of All Talk No Bock. Thank you, Tori and Andrew, for coming back. And the whole team was back, as I said they would be. And hopefully we have the same team back next week. We'll talk to you guys then. Goodbye. Bye.